Darren Joseph was a very forgiving man. And we see here is what his brothers did to him. And he spent those 13 years in a dungeon. In 24 hours, he interpreted a dream of Pharaoh's. And in 24 hours, went from the dungeon where they had to clean him up to stand before Pharaoh, interpreted the dream, and came up second in Egypt. What a miraculous transformation. And only God can do that kind of work. And that's why Darren and I encourage you, if you're being cheated, if you're being taken advantage of, take it to the Lord. And I'll tell you, he'll do more miraculous things on your side than anybody else.
You know, that's really taking it to the Supreme Court, and we teach that. With Jesus, your attorney, and plead your case before the Father God, and then let him give a rendering.
That's right.
He is the one that can not only give the rendering, but enforce it. And that means, in this case, where the man was given a promotion to the second in command, as you just said. And some of you think, well, you see it now. If you look at the natural, it's impossible. Darren, it's impossible. If I live to be 1,000 years old and this will never happen. Don't say that. And if you've said that, cancel those words. In fact, I'm going to stop right here and say, some of you are in curses because of what you said with your big mouth. Why don't you stop and say, Lord, today I choose to cancel all the negative things I've said about you, your faithfulness, and my abilities and my opportunities. I ask you to forgive me, and I put those words to death. Now that's cleaning the slate, folks, so God can promote you.
Yes. Well, here when Joseph became second in command, Darren, there was a famine in the whole world, the known world then. And so a lot of people came over to Egypt to get their food, and that included his brothers. They came over, and through several, over a year and a half, he played a game with them. He didn't let them recognize him. He was, of course, highly made up, because in Egypt they used a lot of makeup, and he had grown. It had been many years since his brothers had seen him, so they didn't recognize him, and they bowed down to him, and he played a little game with them for almost a year and a half, back and forth. And the last time they came, he wanted to reveal himself to them. And this is probably one of the most emotional moments. This is found in Genesis 45.
Well, you get emotional just reading that. Every time we go through that part of the Bible, you're shedding some tears.
And when Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. I can just imagine this highly made up second in command of Egypt says, "I'm your brother." The last time they saw him, they sold him dirty and filthy to a caravan of years ago. And so they thought then, they were petrified. They thought, now he's going to really punish us. But he says in verse 5 of Genesis 45, "And now do not be grieved." This is a total example of true forgiveness, Darren. "And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. Sorry. "For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God." If we could turn our situations to see God in every situation, Darren, we would have a forgiving body of Christ instead of so many factions and strife and divisions in the body.
You know, I talked to a man this morning about farm ground. And he said, "I've walked this piece of ground. I've just walked it in the last 10 days. And he said, "This year, because of lack of rain, there's no crop. No crop. There's no milo." And he said, "There was no wheat. And there's no barley." That means he was telling me that on the phone just a couple, 3 hours ago. Well, I want to tell you, folks, God sees that, and he can turn that around in the blink of an eye. And your circumstances may be very bleak, but you can't go with what you see. You got to go with what you know. And what you know has got to be buried in your heart that God is faithful. And when we walk in forgiveness, we take away all the filters through forgiveness that keep us from seeing God and hearing his voice. And some of you listening to us today are saying, I need God to speak to me about my career. Well, let me tell you, one of the blockages to you hearing the voice of God could be unforgiveness. It could be malice or murder in your heart or hatred towards somebody. Let me tell you, get rid of that through forgiveness. You need to say, God, what's in my heart? What's in there? Because I want to get it taken care of. I don't want a blockage here to keep me from being successful. And somehow I'm missing the mark. Well, it may be unforgiveness. It may be a buried hate or an old thing. Something you need to take care of. You need to let God balance books in your life so he can bless you, because that's his plan for you. He wants to bless you. And you know, when we get into these attitudes of unforgiveness and bitterness, Barbara, that opens the door for curses.
Yes.
And those curses wipe us out, steal our opportunities, take our harvest away from us, keep us from being successful and prosperous and healthy. And God doesn't want that. It's not God's plan.
Yes. If anybody had a reason for being unforgiving, Joseph did. And David, King David did. King Saul was chasing him, wanting to murder him. At every turn, he was wanting to destroy David as he ran from him. David had never done anything. In fact, David had played his harp and his lyre before King Saul and blessed King Saul. And yet he ran after them. And nowhere in these Psalms that he wrote does he ever mention King Saul as his enemy. Because he knew that God had anointed King Saul, and he should never speak against an anointed one appointed by God. And Darren, that's where a lot of people today get into trouble. They speak evil and ill of people who are anointed of God. And that's very dangerous.
Now, see, when we look at those people that are problem people, we've got to make sure that we don't just look at their natural lives.
Yes.
That anointing can be on a guy that's a real character. And in this case, Saul was a real character.
He was a.
But see, David could see him spiritually. Through spiritual eyes, he said, you know, that covering on him is God himself. I'm not going to touch God that covers Saul. Even though Saul's trying to kill me in the natural here, I am not going to touch the covering of God on his life. That's the anointing.
Praise God. Well, a very sad story. Now, almost the entire book of Hosea is made up of a relationship. Hosea is a type of God. And Gomer, his unfaithful wife, is the type of Israel. Israel was very unfaithful to her husband, God. And we see the marriage in Ezekiel 16, chapter 16, where God is betrothed to Israel and marries her, and she goes a-whoring after other nations. Well, here in Hosea, God requires Hosea, and this is the only thing I see in the whole word where God asks a man to marry an unbeliever. And some people say, well, God told me to marry this. I do not believe this. I believe this was a specific incident in the Bible, a type of God and Israel. He married an unfaithful wife, and of the three children born to Gomer during their marriage, only one was his.
Now, you're not saying that Hosea was God. You're saying Hosea was like God.
A type.
To his wife.
Yes, of God, to his wife Gomer, who was a type of Israel. And we see that all through Hosea, the book of Hosea. He's talking in one line about Israel and then goes on with Gomer and the relationship.
You know, this is a pretty graphic part of Scripture. You know, basically he had to go down on the streets and buy her back where she was operating in prostitution.
Yes.
Or he had to go to the whorehouse and get her back as a wife. He had to take her back. Did God command him to do that?
Yes, he did. In Hosea 3, the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. That's the second time she ran from him. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so I will also be towards you. For the sons of Israel remained for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or household idols. And it just talks about the waywardness of Israel and the waywardness of this wife. But yet Hosea was the most forgiving husband towards this wife, always going back and buying her back.
So she was really bringing defilement home to the marriage bed.
He was.
And you know,
was.
When we're unfaithful to God, we do the same thing, because he looks at us in a marriage relationship. And that's what's so hurtful, I believe, to the heart of God. I believe that breaks the heart of God when we go out and whore around with idols. Mm-hmm. And so many Christians have idols in their life. They're into idolatry big time. They're into materialism. They're into other things other than the Word of God. And that's one reason why I believe this word power for every hour that you put out several years ago, Barbara, is so important. I believe we need to be following through. In fact, I was reading several. I got 2 days behind, so I went back and I read a whole lot of Isaiah today and got absolutely blessed.
That's
but
great.
I believe we got to put the Word of God in our hearts, or it is so easy to become slightly in adultery with the world. And you don't want that. You don't want just a little tinge on your life. You want to go straight with the Lord, and He will bless you and bless you and bless you. And the